I know my title is a little bit contentious, maybe, but I'm a Rust developer. I'm allowed to say that. So who am I? I'm Ali Obike. I'm a Rust compiler developer, been now for 10 years. I came to Rust actually because of Ada. Before that, I was doing Ada. And well, I've been doing Rust for 10 years now. My Ada is a little bit rusty, so bear with me. I still code it every now and then. This talk is not about Rust evangelism. It's the other way around, more. It's just showing where we're currently at, because we've been doing a lot of work on getting Rust ready to be used in safety critical systems more. And so what have we been doing here? Bunch of topics. The unsafe keyword is the thing that's basically what in Ada is the, by convention, unchecked keyword. It's not really a keyword in Ada, but it's what you use to say, like, this thing is probably going to be dangerous. You should read the documentation, otherwise everything's going to blow up. We used to have some problems there in Rust. I think we've gotten through all of them now, so I'm going to just give a small intro there. Generic packages and modules, really cool in Ada. Rust, yeah, crickets. Safety certification, going to go into details there. And we have contracts now. They're coming. They're not merged yet, fun, but the PR is open and almost ready to be merged. And subtypes, that's like kind of my baby that I've been working on for like whatever, 10 years. We've gotten there. And most of the talk is going to be about subtyping. So unchecked versus unsafe. This is a example of code that you can write in Rust up to a few months ago that would have been totally fine compiling, and your program would have blown up because you created a malloc function, and malloc is a weak symbol in most code that you have out there. So if you just define a random malloc function with a literal symbol named malloc, you are now the owner of the malloc function, and whatever you write in there is malloc. And so if you just do something like random integer, well, your code is probably going to blow up because somebody's going to call malloc and dereference it, and, well, bad things happen. Anyway, we fixed that. You now have to actually specify unsafe somewhere in there. Before, you didn't have to, and blowing up a program without writing unsafe, not good. So we fixed that. generic packages and modules. If you write a generic package in Rust, you get this error message. Like, it's so unsupported, even the diagnostics don't know what you're talking about. And Rust is actually famous for having good diagnostics, so I'm going to fix that soon, but with just fixing the diagnostics, not actually implementing any feature. Safety certification. We are safety certified. We have a certification of, Ferrazine. Ferrazine is used in safety critical systems. You're allowed to actually use your stuff in like cars and whatnot, in, at least in Germany now. I don't know about other countries. There was some little bit of drama. Like, this was used to be an interop with Ada Core and Ferris Systems. It is now not. Drama happened. People quit. Stuff like happened. I don't know if people quit because of this, but cool. We have this now, and it's still being developed to extend it. And it's always up to date with like the current Rust version, maybe like 6 weeks behind or something. But yeah. So contracts. Contracts in Rust are similar to contracts before like Ada. What's it? 2012. When did we get contracts actually in the language? It's basically attributes, which are more similar to how you have random comments somewhere, except that the language will actually now check these attributes, and you can specify arbitrary pre and post conditions. They're not actually formally checked in the way that Spark checks them, but we have the Kani formal checker for Rust, which is similar to how to Spark. It has all this S&T solvers in there. It gives you diagnostics. It creates counterexamples and whatnot. It's not fully complete yet, but it works for a lot of Rust code, and it's being used to like prove small Rust code as completely free of runtime exceptions. So that's cool. And the thing I actually want to talk to you all about after giving you the small update, pattern types. Pattern types in Rust are similar to Ada subtypes, except what we normally have in Rust is just like concrete types for like a non-zero U32. That's like an actual type in the standard library. You don't specify like, I just want my integer to not have zero. What you do is you use this built-in type, and you can't actually define these kind of types yourself. You can't do a non-10 U32. That just doesn't exist in Rust yet. And similar for pointers, there's a non-null generic type that you can define for any kind of pointer type, and it will give you a non-null pointer. This is just a standard library type. It has a lot of magic in there to make it work, but it's not something you as a user will actually be defining yourself. Kind aside, so the rest of the stuff is actually well explainable. In Rust, type aliases are not strong. Not like Ada, where you have like a concrete different type. Rust, the left side and the right side, even though they are called different things, they're specified at different lines of code and whatever, they're just the same type. Like Rust will not actually know that bar exists. It will just know that like there's a U32 here now. It's not a preprocessor, but it's just like, it will just transparently make this disappear. It's just a help for you to not write the code twice and be able to easily change like type definitions. So keep that in mind when I'm going into my examples that are following. Patterns. Another side, before we go into actual pattern types, patterns in Rust are similar to the whole case patterns that you have in Ada. You can match on something and then like this is almost the same syntax. The Rust formatter just doesn't put spaces between the dots. Otherwise, like it's pretty much the same thing. And there's other syntaxes like the OR pattern, where you just like do separate things. Like, is this a cat, dog, or bat? And then you if it's one of these, then you go into .arm. When others, you go into the rest. And these kind of patterns are what we actually want to use for specifying subtypes in Rust, because we already have the concept of something matches some specific subsection of that type, and we just want to reuse that because we don't want to duplicate another system. So that's what we're basically trying. One cool thing about Rust, you can specify patterns that are matched together. So here I'm matching on two variables at the same time, and it's required that the first variable is in range 1 to 10, and the second variable is dog or cat. Then we go into this arm, and if it's 10 to 20 and dog or cat or bat, then we go into this arm. So you can combine multiple types and check them at the same time together, and that's something that we want to use in our pattern types too. This also works in Ada, but you need to specify more complex bounds there. It's not like a built-in thing directly. You need to do these runtime checks, as far as I can tell. So how would this look? We had the earlier example of non-zero, and now my plan for the very far future is that the standard library will actually replace the non-zero U32 type with this type alias. Like, it will literally be a U32 is one dot dot. So a U32 that starts at one and can be any value after that. And similar thing for null pointers. We don't use the not keyword because we're Rust, we're using sigils and shorter stuff, so we use not, bang, and then null. This syntax might completely change, depends on what the language team decides, but something like that will happen. And so we can define those types that are already built in into the standard library. So what else can we do? I already mentioned that pattern types do not do strong typing, so you do not get separate types. If you do the same type definition twice, it will be exactly the same thing. If you say U32 is one dot dot something, another person defining in a completely different library, completely somewhere else, same thing, same type. And for the language knows about you, pattern types are not actually doing subtyping. Pattern types only coerce between each other, like the compiler will insert conversions, but there will be no like actual type system subtyping where the types are actually like subtypes of each other, like what happens with lifetimes in Rust. Lifetimes do a lot of subtyping, but we're trying to keep it to lifetimes and not explode that more. That might change in the future, but for now we're trying that. So how do you actually create a pattern type? Up to this week, earlier this week, what you had to use was a transmute, like unsafe code to convert an integer to the actual subtype. And now what you can do is you can just specify a literal, just like in Ada, you specify a literal and assign it to your subtype. And the compiler will just check, is this literal actually in range for that subtype? And if it is, then it will just merge it. And if it's not, then it will actually emit an error. On the other hand, if you're converting a variable, so you declared a variable here and you convert that, you need to currently use transmute. There's no good conversion. In Ada, you literally just use the type and it will do a runtime check for you. We're working on that. And what we want to do is, thanks for the previous presentation, I stole your stuff. Here's a grade type, which is 1 to 6, and a passing grade, which is 1 to 5, German passing grades, anyway. And you have a variable of type grade, however you get that value. What you then want to do is you convert that grade with try from into a passing type, and then you get an option back, because either the conversion succeeds, then you get the thing in your option sum, or it doesn't succeed and you get a none. You don't actually get the value. If it doesn't succeed, you don't get a value. Important stuff. Good that Ada and Rust are getting this right in contrast to other languages. There's lots of more stuff that I want to do. These things don't work yet at all, but Rust patterns. I want to basically, if you can write a pattern in Rust in like a match, I want you to be able to write a pattern type for it. So having combinations of like a type where the U32 must be between 0 and 100 and the string must be limited to specific things. And this is in combination. You cannot go out of this. These belong together. And maybe even at some point have constraints where like 0 to 50 means cake and 50 to 100 means fruit or something like that, where you can make more complex combinations of that. I want to, if you can specify it in a pattern, I want you to be able to write it as a pattern type. And we have a good plan for getting there. So I'm almost out of time, so let's go to the summary. Generic modules, completely to do, not happening anytime soon. Don't wait for it. Contracts are work in progress. They're happening pretty fast, and I think they are already supported in the Kani model checker, so we'll just get them basically for free as a static check. Pattern type, I'm working on them. If you want stuff, complain to me. I'll try to make stuff work. My next step is idiomatic conversion, so the try from that you saw earlier. And where we've caught up, we have safety certification, and we're sound by default, pretty much modulo some soundness bugs that we're fixing, but like that's a compiler bug, not an actual language bug. Thanks. Questions? Okay, the question is, why can we actually match on strings and say like this could be like cake or a fruit or something, and why isn't there like some better system? I think, yeah, I don't actually know. It's a hard topic to do something better there, really. Like you can do runtime checks similar to the Ada runtime checks, or you can do this OR listing. We don't really have a better concept. Like there's ideas for integrating like regex into like matches or something like that, but that's like very far off, and I don't know if we're gonna do that or anything at all. There might be better ways to do this. I don't really know about it. I'm happy to talk about ideas, but yeah, I don't know.
Considering that you feel that Rust has caught up in terms of safety certification, my question is, how in Rust do you prove the absence of runtime exceptions?
The question is, how do you prove in Rust the absence of runtime exceptions? Well, similar to how we have Spark and Ada, we have Kani and Rust. It is a work in progress, but it does actually do the same kind of checking, and it is actually being used for pretty much the same things. We have 1 minute, so one more question.
Like these subtypes, will I be able to, if I expect the subtype in a function like a reference, will I also be able, or if I, not the generic type, will I be able to pass in the subtype without any problems? Or because it sounds like that
you
get this kind of subtype in them.
Can you?
I assume I've got a subtype, yeah. Range 1 to 5, and I expect the U32, will I be able to pass the subtype?
Okay, the question is, if you have a subtype, can you use that anywhere where you can use the normal base type of that? And The answer is you can outside of generic context first, because there's implicit conversion from subtypes to the base type, because every subtype is a valid version, value of the base type. But if you're using it in generic context, we're currently figuring that out, how to implement traits for subtypes and how to implement like implicit conversions there. We're not using actual subtyping, so we need to figure out something better. But it might be that the end result is we actually need full-on subtyping. We don't know yet. I have a couple more minutes. Cool. More questions? Over there.
In Ada, you can define two semantically identical types, but with different representations. How would I do this in Rust?
The question is, how do you specify two semantically equal, but with different representation, like two types with the same representation for the use and the language, but a different layout representation? And I don't actually think you can do that.
Can you use constant functions in contracts?
The question is, can you use constant functions in contracts? Right now, you can just use any runtime code because they're just runtime checked. Contracts are work in progress, and we're figuring out the details there. But the simplest thing was to simply make them just runtime checks at the start and the end of the function right now, and we'll figure out the details as we go. So the question is, why is the syntax highlighter not actually catching those preconditions and postconditions in the contracts? And the thing is, the contracts are attributes, and attributes don't actually support expressions in them. And there were some bunch of hacks going on there. Like, basically, the attribute is a proc macro that generates some super secret internal Rust representation language. We don't actually know where this is going yet. It might actually end up just being surface language syntax that actually doesn't use attributes. But like, this is work in progress, and the language team would like us to be more using weirder syntax to start with, so we don't prescribe what the language design is going to go end up with, and not get people used to something that actually looks like they want to use it in the end. Yes. So the question is, if you, for example, use a non-zero type inside an option, what you get is the same size as the non-zero type, because the option knows, like, oh, there's a zero missing. I can just use that for my none value. And the pattern types, actually, that's the first thing I implemented. Before I implemented anything else in pattern types, I implemented, if you do like 0 to 100, all the other possible values of your integer are now for free for other enums to take to put their discriminants in. So you can actually nest like 50 options inside each other, and in the middle there's a 0 to 100, and that will just be the same size as the original value. Well, the pattern type the question is, can you do explicitly say like which bits are supposed to be there and which not? And the answer is simply the range that you're specifying. That's the valid range, and everything else is invalid. And if you specify like multiple ranges, right now the limitation is it will just pick the biggest space of invalid values and use that for everything. It will not actually preserve all the invalid spaces.
That's about time.
Cool. Time. I'm going to be in the hallway for questions if people want to back me about stuff. Happy talks about Rust, talk about Ada and stuff. Grab me.